Well, good morning, Valley. Okay, let me start over here. Good morning, Valley.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah, we're ready. Good morning, Valley.
Good morning.
That tied one. I'm excited. If you can't tell, I'm excited. God has given me a word through the book of Acts. It's been a journey. God has been doing some phenomenal things through this book in my life. And now he's given me the opportunity to preach Henry. You know what? You remember when Paul was excited and he preached all night and someone fell out the window? Well, don't worry, that's not me. We're going to be short and succinct, but I want you to catch it. I want you to catch what God has for each one of us. We're going to look at a passage, Acts chapter 9. Most of the time when you see that passage, you're thinking of Saul being transformed, coming to know Christ as his Savior. But I'm going to deviate just a little bit, and I'm going to look at the guy Ananias. The Bible doesn't tell us very much about him, but he played a pivotal role in the Bible. And so I want us to focus in on Ananias and his ministry. And so the greatest lesson that we're going to look at today is learning to trust God enough to obey him even when you're afraid. I'm afraid of heights. Anybody else in the room afraid of heights? Sometimes, yeah. You see that bridge on the screen? How many people are willing to cross that bridge to get to the other side? But you realize there's a whole gulf in between you that drops very far. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, sir. You're willing to step out. You're not scared? That's young people. I know what happens when I get too much of this going in the right direction. Gravity takes over, and I can't stop. And that bridge is kind of wobbly. And sometimes when God calls us to stuff, it may seem a little shaky. It may seem like, God, do you really understand? Do you really know what you're asking me to do? And God's saying, yes, I know the full story. I know the end from the beginning and everything in between. God's asking us today, will you trust him? Will you trust him and make yourself available to be used by him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're here today. We want to have an encounter with the living God of the Bible. So anything that will prohibit that from happening, God, I pray that you would remove it so that we can see you high and lifted up above all our circumstances, that we can see you exalted, and we can see you as the sovereign God of the universe, working all things out for our good and your glory. Now, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, in whom I trust. All God's people said, amen. So as we look at Ananias, this story is going to help us to learn to trust God enough to obey him even when we're afraid. Even when we're afraid. In order to do that, we've got to start at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. We've got to get the backstory. We've got to understand what's happening for Ananias to be afraid. So join me in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now Saul was still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from them to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Catch it. Saul's on his way. He's on the attack. Saul just approved of Stephen's death and saw that it pleased the Jews. So now he's on the quest to attack more believers. And understanding, he went on the authority of the leaders in the synagogue. He went to get letters saying, it's okay for me to go get believers and arrest them and take them back to Jerusalem. But on his way, he had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. And in that encounter, let's look at what happens. It says, as he was traveling and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice to him saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let's stop right there. This story is told in two other places in the book of Acts. Acts 22, where he's defending himself to the Jews, and Acts 26, where he's defending himself to King Agrippa. And in that, Paul uses his testimony, and he says in Acts 22, we all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me in Aramaic saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads, to kick against the goads. In other words, God's telling him, Paul, it's hard for you to fight what I'm doing in your life. It's hard for you to fight the direction that you believe you should be going in. I'm taking you into a new direction. God was speaking to Saul at that point, letting him know that I am the one that you're persecuting. You may think that you're persecuting believers, but the church belongs to me. You are persecuting me. I need you to understand I have something different for you. I have another assignment for you. And so Saul at that point says that they all fell to the ground. But it also says some of them, Paul asked that question, who are you, Lord? Saul said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting, he replied. Then he said, but get up and go into the city. You'll be told what to do. Then the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground. Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat. Okay, that's the background of the story. Saul had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus told him, Saul, you're getting ready to do something special for me. Stop fighting it. Surrender. And now, here comes Ananias. Dun, dun, dun. You ready? Are you really ready? Okay, let's go. God calls us to obedience even when we're afraid. God speaks to ordinary people. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he replied. I want you to recognize the Bible calls Ananias just a disciple. Doesn't say he's an apostle. Doesn't say he's a prophet. Doesn't say he's this super special spiritual guy. He's an ordinary guy like you and I. And God spoke to him. Yet, did you catch his response? Here I am, Lord. In other words, he's saying, Lord, I'm available to you. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm here. Use me. That kind of reminds me that God just doesn't speak to the spiritual elite. He speaks to available people. You don't have to be important. You just have to be open. You just have to be open to God's plan. Next, we see, as I was reading through the book of Acts, remember Peter and Paul when they said, we observe the boldness of Peter and John and realize that they were uneducated, untrained men. They were amazed. They were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. That arrested me. Would people that I interact with say the same thing? Would they recognize that I've been with Jesus? Is there enough evidence in my life to convict me of being one of those that they can recognize that has been with Jesus? You see, Peter and John were just ordinary people, but they did extraordinary things because they let the Spirit lead them and fill them on a daily basis. That's a charge for me to bury. Are you working in your own strength, or are you allowing the Spirit to work in and through you so that Jesus is glorified? And people see that in my life. Let's keep going. Not only does God speak to ordinary people, obedience doesn't always feel safe. Obedience doesn't always feel safe. Look at what it says in Acts 9, 11 through 14. He says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight." The Lord said to him, "To the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." Did you see in the instructions he say there's a man, his name is Saul, he's praying? That should have been a key to Ananias that God was doing something in his life. Because Saul wasn't praying. Saul was trying to kill believers. But listen to Ananias' response. He said, "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And by the way, Lord, he has authority here from chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias was understandably afraid because he had heard. Has anybody shared something with you that caused you unrest? You're like, "I heard they're laying off people today." Immediately, your heart sinks. Immediately, you're saying, "God, don't, not me, God." But people were telling the Bible. It amazes me how quickly stories run. We have X. We see how stuff runs. The Bible didn't have X. They had your feet and they had donkeys. But yet, Ananias, the word had come that Saul was there and he had the authority to arrest believers. And he was afraid. Because Jesus said, "I want you to go to him." And the Bible's funny because Ananias is like, "Okay, Jesus, let me let you in on something. Paul's not a believer. Saul's not a believer. He doesn't like us. So why are you sending me to him? Because he's going to harm me. I don't like pain. Anybody here like pain? Nope. I'm so glad I'm a male. I am so glad. I watched my wife birth two children. And all I kept encouraging her, Miss Michelle, I said, "You can do it." And she squeezed my hand a little harder. I said, "It's almost here." And eventually she told me to shut up. It must have been a pain that hit. I thought I was encouraging her. She says, "You don't understand the pain I'm in." That's Ananias. "Jesus, you don't understand what you're asking me to walk into the lion's den. You're asking me to do something that in and of my own strength I would never do. But Jesus responds to him, even though they have authority from the chief priest, even though he has that reputation of harming believers, I believe his fear was valid. But that doesn't excuse us from our obedience. Even though something may be scary, if God's calling you to it, I think we should move towards it and not away from it. Timothy told Paul, Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. Understanding fear doesn't come from God. That's not what God has given us. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. And a lot of times, when we get asked to do something, let's make it real plain. God makes it real plain that you should share your faith with somebody. Happens to me all the time. And I'm like, God, we're in the middle of a supermarket. God's like, just say hi to him. Say, how you doing? God, I have to get to this Bible study. Time is not there. I use the pastor card. God, you know I got to teach the Bible. I already got people waiting, so therefore I can't engage this conversation. You may just say, well, God, I don't have the words. I don't know what I should say, God. But God often prompts us when people are receptive. And we miss those opportunities because we come up with excuses because we're fearful. But Ananias is showing us fear is real. It's okay to be afraid, but learn to do it afraid. Learn to share your faith afraid. Because sometimes when God puts you in an uncomfortable position, that shows that he can be glorified and not you. You know, the pastor card's easy because I say I have the easiest job in the world. I get to share the greatest story over and over and over again. God loved me so much that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross for me because I couldn't save myself. You know why? Because Barry has sin. Sin separates. You see, I was born in sin. That separated me from my heavenly Father. But Jesus, in his love, came to die on a cross and take my place on the cross. That should have been me. But he died for me. Why? So that I can be brought back to the Father. Now I am in right relationship with him. Now I call him Abba, our Father. Would you like that relationship? That relationship's a free gift. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Death means separation in the Bible. The first death is when your body is separated. The second death is when your soul is separated from God. God doesn't want to see any perish. He wants to see everyone come to faith in his Son. Will you believe? That's my story. I recognize where I was when Jesus found me. I recognize that apart from him, I'm eternally lost. That's a story that's worth telling. And now I get to do it on a college campus every day. You were supposed to say, yay. Yay. Oh, God. Let's try over here. I get to do it on a college campus every day. Okay. Must not be the greatest story. Okay, we're getting back to it. But that's what That's what Ananias got to do. Ananias got to be an instrument in the hand of the Redeemer. A lot of us, God wants to use us to lead people back to himself. But the problem is, we're like Ananias, we're afraid. We're afraid, we don't want to, because we're afraid of what people may think. So obedience will sometimes put you in uncomfortable positions. Is there someone in your life that you may have to forgive? That's an uncomfortable position. Is there someone that God wants you to start a gospel conversation that you feel will be awkward? Is there a ministry that God's calling you to? Is there something that God wants you to do that you're still hesitating because you don't see the whole picture? You don't know all that God will do. That fear that Ananias had, it was real, but God used it in a mighty way. His obedience isn't always safe, but is always sacred. I want you to think about a firefighter. Firemen don't run into a fire because they're not afraid. They do it because it's their calling. They're called to. As believers, our calling is to be witnesses of the goodness of God in our life. And we should be running towards that. We should be running to be able to tell what God has done in our life. And so it's a challenge not to be fearful. But look at what Ananias did in verse 15. But the Lord said to him, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites." My chosen instrument. Understanding that God chose him before the foundation of the world to do the work that Saul is going to do. And he just needed Ananias to know, "I have a plan. I have a plan." And Saul is going to help us fulfill that plan. So sometimes God's purposes are bigger than our fears. God says, "Ananias, I know Saul, I know who Saul was, but I also know who Saul is going to be." He understood that Saul was bad at one time, but I know what Saul's future looks like. I just need you to trust me. I just need you to go. So you see, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees purpose where we see problems. Sometimes we hesitate to obey because we can't see the full picture. But God's plan is never limited to our perspective. It's almost like when you have a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? You hold up one puzzle piece. Without the rest of the puzzles, it means nothing. But when you add it to the other puzzle pieces, you see its significance in that puzzle. That's what we are. When you add your obedience to what God's calling you to, that piece to that puzzle makes a whole lot more sense than what it did when you first started out. I tell you, how I got to Towson and how I got to Valley, it's all a God thing. I had no idea, I tell you this all the time, that I would be here at Valley. 2020. The church that I had been youth pastor and young adult pastor for 12 years said, "At the end of this year, your services are no longer wanted." I said, "Okay, I'll serve the rest of the year." And they asked me, "What are you going to do?" I said, "No, I think God's calling me to Towson University to work with college students." That's all I said. They said, "Okay, great. Let us know when you land." I said, "Sure will." And it took a minute for me to get here. I come up and start talking to Mike, and Mike says, "Okay, I'm thinking about working here and reviving this church." I said, "That sounds good. I'll pray with you." Little did I know, I was praying for myself as God was reviving things. But he didn't give me the whole picture. But it didn't stop there. I remember being with Grace Life before 2023, praying over the campus, asking God to give us the campus, asking God that he would open a door for me into the athletic department, because, as you can tell, I played a sport. I'm still an athlete. Why are you laughing? That was not a joke. That's why we do volleyball. That's why, never mind. Fast forward, 2 years later, I'm with the FCA. FCA was not on my radar, Mike. Mike plans my life, kinda. Mike plans a lot of people's lives. And he said, I think you should do this. I think this would be good for you. Mike, you didn't say anything about FCA. And here I am, based on a prayer that God, you would open the athletic department. And guess when I got up to the athletic department? I met a football player. His name is Nate. Nate is praying for a revival on that campus. He wants to use his athletic position to spark a revival. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's excited like I am. But Grace Life on that campus is praying for a revival. We have two groups on that campus calling for God to do a supernatural work to where we see many come to Christ. Had I not said yes, Lord, to Valley, had I not said yes, Lord, to Grace Life, had I not said yes, Lord, to FCA, I wouldn't be having as much fun now, would I? Because now I see how God's working it all out. He wants us to say the first yes. Make yourself available. I guarantee you, I'm afraid of heights. No, I'm not. I'm not speaking that into my life. My wife told me I'm not afraid of heights. As she walks out on the balcony and stands and like, woo! And I'm like, come back in. Come back in. But it's something about when somebody holds your hand. And she walked me out, and I saw, it's not that bad. I believe God has his hand out for you. He wants to walk you out to that fear that you may have. Whether it's forgiving somebody that hurt you real bad. Whether it's sharing your faith. Whether it's being a part of a ministry, let God take your hand. Let him lead you through it. Don't continue to wrestle and tell God no, because you won't get to the excitement of where I am today. Let's finish this off. Obedience opens the door for transformation. Look at 17 through 18. Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. You see, Ananias obeyed. He walked in the room, and the first thing he said, Brother Saul. He recognized Saul was in the family of God. Understanding Ananias' obedience was the gateway for Saul's healing, baptism, and calling. God used Ananias' small act of faith to unlock one of the greatest transformations in church history. Paul wrote nearly half of the New Testament. Your obedience may be the key to someone else's breakthrough. You may not feel important, but your faithfulness matters. Do you remember or know who led Billy Graham to Christ? A lot of people don't know. His name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham became a believer at the age of 9. Known, he was called to the ministry and was a traveling evangelist at age 16. He ran around sharing the gospel. And in North Carolina, he shared the gospel, and Billy Graham received his message and became a believer. And because of Billy Graham became a believer, millions have heard the gospel. We never know who that one might be. That's why we're called to just obey, because God's always working. God's always working. You just never know what God will do with your yes. We just have to make ourselves available. And so, in conclusion, let's just review. God speaks to ordinary people. Obedience isn't always safe. God's plans are bigger than your fears. Our obedience opened doors for others. Ananias said yes. Fear didn't stop him, but faith moved him. What about you? What's God challenging you to do? Make that phone call today. Reach across the line. Be like Ananias and say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." That's your action call. Maybe it's you never made that first step of faith to Christ. You see the diving board? As a young person, I used to do adventurous stuff like that. Oh no, let's just look at the smallest one. Don't go up to the top. Some of you are looking to the top and you're going to credit me for, no. Look at the little one. Underneath the guy that's sitting, I would jump off of that. As a kid, there was a swim club that had a swing, tire swing, that you just swing and just jump and have fun. I think too many of us, the older you get, you realize your bones don't heal as quickly. So fear says no, uh-uh. But I want you to be adventurous, because Jesus wants to use your story. You just never know who that one will be. Will you say with me, "Here I am, Lord"? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you use ordinary people to do extraordinary things through the power of your Spirit. God, help us as a body of believers to be yielded to your Spirit and your will. Help us to hear when you nudge us to take steps of faith. Help us to move with you, not ahead of you, not behind you, but help us to move with you. God, I pray for that one who may not know you, may not have taken that step of faith. I pray that you would open the eyes of their heart, that they would see their need for salvation, and that they would run towards you. And the rest of us, God, as you nudge us, help us to say, "Here I am. I'm available to you." This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're getting ready to sing one more song. That's not me, I promise. If you would all stand, and if God's spoken to you and you may want prayer, Pastor Mike will be down front, Pastor David. Or if you just want to just stretch out and pray, asking God to use you this week. Whatever God said, your time to respond.